Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. 8:15 local time, Hiroshima, Japan. The date is August 6th in America, August 7th in Japan. The explosion itself is a surprise. Japan's been firebombed for weeks since March. However, this time it was a single plane, actually two planes, one named Enola Gay. This is the remembrance of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In a book published by Charles Pellegrino and updated by Charles Pellegrino, always more information. The original book was Last Train from Hiroshima, The Survivors Look Back. The second book, even more material, was To Hell and Back, The Survivors Look Back. We're going to follow one particular survivor of both blasts between Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But first, Charlie, a very good evening to you. It is August 6th in America when we recorded the atomic blast over Hiroshima. The immediate effect, in addition to vaporizing and destroying and leveling the city, was black rain. What was black rain, Charlie? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Black rain was the material directly under the bomb that was intensely irradiated. During that first 1/100,000th of a second of the bomb's detonation, every element that ever has or ever can exist in our galaxy, in the universe, was briefly created, and very rapidly, many of them decayed. Some traveling close to the speed of light, only 1 or 2 feet before they disappeared, but some lasting several minutes. And that's what was deadly. They were hoisted up into this cloud, mixed with the humidity in the air, much of that humidity coming from people and plants and animals and the surfaces of ponds that were instantly vaporized. And it came down as this black rain. And many of those elements were giving off their energy within the first 15, 20 minutes or so. And that was quite deadly. If you were caught in the black rain within those first 2 minutes, while it was really radioactively hot, you were very likely to get a lethal dose that you could die within hours, days, weeks, or cancers that would develop within years, depending on how much of an exposure you received.
There were survivors, and 30 of them are of particular note because they worked in Hiroshima and then went on to Nagasaki to continue their work for Mitsubishi, the manufacturer of aircraft and other machinery for the Imperial Japanese. This is the end of the Second War, the last days of the Second War. We're going to follow one particular double survivor, Tsutomu Yamaguchi. Where was he when the blast took place, Charlie?
He was a little more than a mile and a half away in the south of Hiroshima, which was a bomb. The Hiroshima bomb was only about half as powerful as the Nagasaki bomb. And he happened to be in an open field. He had training. In a potato field. He dove into a pit as he saw the parachutes, which were scientific instruments, dropped from a second plane. And he sensed something, and he dove into an irrigation ditch. A woman who was standing near him, he never saw her again. And he was basically shock cocooned and to some degree shadow shielded, except for one arm that was exposed that received severe burns from the flash. He was seriously injured, and a day later he was able to get onto a train and go to the... He wanted to get back to Nagasaki, where his wife and his newborn child were. He realized this had to be the atomic bomb that was being talked about. He knew it would probably be going to Nagasaki, which was one of the few cities that had not yet been firebombed. And he was going there mainly because he wanted to be with his wife and child when he died.
There was doubt in Tokyo, in the leadership council, the military junta. There was doubt what kind of bomb it was, because Japan had been firebombed for months. I said since March, since the Tokyo raid burned down half of Tokyo by the U.S. Air Force. And there was a reason to inspect the site by one of the Japanese physicists. Who was it that inspected Hiroshima, I think, the next day to confirm what kind of bomb it was?
That was Dr. Nishina, and he was flown in, ironically, by the pilot who led the raid on Pearl Harbor. He had radiation detection equipment. He went right to the hypocenter. He found a street corner where what was left of the people under the hypocenter near the famous T-bridge were basically, people were reduced to teeth, radioactive teeth. And once he, within minutes, he detected that there was radiation coming from these teeth. And he said, we've got to go back to Tokyo. We've got to tell them that this weapon was atomic and there is no defense against this.
He knew immediately because the Japanese had imagined working on an atomic bomb. Where was that project?
That was throughout various parts of the country. And they were not very good at refining the uranium. It takes the basically a significant percentage of the electrical power of an entire country and the industry of a country in 1945 to refine enough of nearly acceptably pure uranium-235. Japan did not have that. Interestingly, Drs. Nishina and Sagan had designed a very efficient atomic bomb, uranium-based bomb. In fact, their design was slightly better in its geometry than our design, but they didn't have the uranium.
One more detail before we move on to Nagasaki with Yamaguchi. The targeting, the decision was made in Washington by the Secretary of War and other dignitaries of the then the Truman administration. Hiroshima was chosen. Why?
Well, it had a naval base. It had army bases. It was one of the cities that early on in the March firebombings, they decided leave a couple of cities untouched by the firebombs so that when we test the atomic bomb on the city, we can determine, go in later and determine what damage was actually from the atomic bomb. And so there was Hiroshima, there was Kokura, which was left untouched, even though it was a military base. And there was a lot of the Navy in Nagasaki. Now, Charles Sweeney, one of the pilots, he was hoping it would be Kokura because it didn't have such a large civilian population as Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
The targeting committee that met in Washington, the Truman administration, they wanted factories and factory workers. Did they know about radiation? Did they know about the blast?
They suspected, they knew there would be a flash. It wasn't until after the atomic bombs were dropped that we really knew all the effects. No one really expected that it would cause all these cancers, that 10 years later there would be hospitals filled with children with leukemia. The information about the burns and the radiation and the radiation sickness did manage to make its way to the White House pretty quickly. After the bomb was, a few days after the bomb was dropped on Nagasaki. And there is some correspondence between Truman and one of the senators. And the information that had begun to reach Truman after Nagasaki, he wrote back to the senator and he said, not unless absolutely necessary will I use one of these weapons again.
Yamaguchi gets on a train to Nagasaki to warn his family and to take his wife away from what he believes will be the next attack. We're going to Nagasaki now. The book is To Hell and Back, also known as Last Train from Hiroshima, Charles Pellegrino is the author. All of this is available on Amazon. We're telling the story because it's the day of August 6th in America, 1945. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.